Now, while those in Europe have been fronting the hottest temperatures ever experienced, extreme weather caused by climate change has been affecting natural systems all over the world, with a recent report finding up to 45% of coastal habitats in Australia have been damaged because of it. The report published by Frontiers in Marine Science found that extreme weather events will only increase in frequency, with consequences for ecosystems and important heritage sites. Well, joining me on the line to discuss is Dr. Eva Palghani-Lloyd, Principal Research Scientist at the CSIRO. Eva, thanks for your time.
Sure. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. So thanks for your time. And so this study, how does it reveal that weather events are different now to before, or how have they fluctuated so drastically compared to recorded history?
Yeah, thanks, Julia. So we do know that weather is very variable. And in Australia, we used to, you know, cyclones and we used to high temperatures and things. But what's been happening over the last period is that these events are becoming much more extreme. And so when we looked sort of from about 2011 up until currently, we saw that not only is the sort of frequency of some of these events becoming more common, but they're also a lot more extreme, so they're tending to push systems out of the range of variability that they're used to dealing with. So it's more about there's a sort of underlying gradual change in, for example, sea surface temperature. But on top of that, it's the fact that when you do get big events, they're much more extreme, and so they have a much bigger impact.
Sure. And so what is this, what impact is this having on marine habitats, such as heritage listed sites like the Great Barrier Reef?
Yeah, so what our study was trying to document was that a lot of people have heard about the problems the Great Barrier Reef has been facing because of these anomalously high temperatures the last few years. So the very high temperatures cause coral bleaching, and if those temperatures are sustained for long enough, the corals will actually die, and that will have flow-on effects to the rest of the system. So we wanted to sort of map how extensive that damage has been over this period where we had very anomalously high temperatures, and on top of that, we had some extreme cyclones. But when we look right around the rest of Australia, there's a lot of other impacts which have received a lot less attention because they're sort of less iconic in a way than the Great Barrier Reef. Mm. There's also very important seagrass habitats. For example, dugongs and turtles and fish and a number of species rely on seagrass habitats all along the top of Australia and down the west coast, as well as kelp habitats. So kelp are these big sort of like underwater plants. They sustain a lot of the underwater ecosystem as well. And these temperatures and cyclones and all these extreme events we've had have impacted on all those three major habitat types. So that's the sort of key finding of the study, is that when we actually look right across Australia, it's almost half of that coastal system that's been impacted in the last few years.
Very upsetting indeed. And you're right, we do only see, you know, the Great Barrier Reef, blah, 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 but there's plenty more. What can we do in the future to help marine habitats? Is there anything we can do?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because I think most people are aware that the big action needs to happen at a bigger scale around reducing emissions. That's the key to, unless we reduce those emissions, these systems are going to be in huge trouble right around the world. But in terms of sort of at the individual level, it is hard, but every individual's actions, you know, make a difference. In terms of some of those habitats, as researchers, we're doing science to try to look at how can we help them recover. How can we make them more resilient? So some of it is about keeping these systems as healthy as we can so that when they're hit with these, you know, large environmental impacts, they can withstand it better. So we talk about them being more resilient. And that's things like making sure that there isn't overfishing. And in Australia, we actually have quite good management of the fisheries in most of these systems. But there is a lot of pressure in some places from all sectors, from recreational fishers, commercial fishers. And so we need to all be responsible about how we actually utilize. We need to try to not damage those ecosystems. So, for example, with coral, any extra impacts on systems are obviously not going to be good. There is science looking at ways we can sort of transplant corals, we can grow perhaps corals that can cope better with the heat. So there's a lot of different strategies that people are looking at. And it's really, it's a combination of trying to put all these little bits together, everybody doing their bit, and then hoping that globally we'll also get some stronger action about, you know, the recognition that unless we reduce those emissions, these impacts are going to become more and more frequent and more extreme down the line.
Completely. It is definitely an urgent message, and awareness is the first key. So Eva, thank you so much for talking on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
That's a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye. That was Dr. Eva Plagani-Lloyd, Principal Research Scientist at the CSIRO, discussing climate change affecting Australia's marine habitats, and a new study finding that up to 45% of coastal habitats have been affected by extreme weather conditions. Also plenty to do to help. And if you did miss that story, you can make sure to head on over to our website, 2SER.com, for the full podcast.